This segment of the Avaya Podcast Network is sponsored by CashFly. Deliver content fast with CashFly. Visit CACHEFLY.com to learn more. This is the Avaya Podcast Network. APN. Technology, news, and information. All in one place. Welcome to this edition of Insight IAUG at the International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event in Orlando, Florida. Your APN hosts Mark Fletcher and Guy Clinch bring you exciting interviews with speakers, attendees, and exhibitors at this annual event. Now here's your host, Guy Clinch.
Hello everybody, it's Guy again, and I am just thrilled to have the opportunity to bring to you a true piece of technology history as I have the distinct pleasure of introducing you to Pat Schaefer, who is VP of Sales of North America for Verse, and Greg Borden, who is the CEO of Listening Methods. These two folks go back in the history of telecommunications to the beginning of computer telephony integration, and they were integral in the establishment of this key technology that has become so important to the way in which contact centers and other businesses integrate their computers with their telephony infrastructure and leverage that infrastructure to create business value. I'm going to get out of the way and I'm going to let these two folks have a conversation. You'll be very pleased because this is a true piece of technology history unfolding before your ears. Pat and Greg, please feel free to chat away here and tell us a little bit about the origins of computer telephony integration, or CTI.
Absolutely. And how exciting it is to see people that you've known for more years than I care to mention still around and still creating interesting applications and looking at the industry that has spun out of our early beginnings in the CTI days, Greg.
Absolutely. Pat was one of my favorite people, and I think the discussion topic today is really to go through some of that early history, perhaps, of CTI, but I also want to add to it, because if anyone in this industry drove contact centers from these difficult things and actually turned it into an industry with a good technology, it was Pat Schaefer.
Wow, how kind of you.
It was really true. It was really true. If we start off in this early history, the concepts actually came about in 1983 and 84.
Absolutely. When AT&T was looking at this new technology that they called ISDN, and most people thought of it as it still does nothing, and couldn't get a grip on how this technology would be used. I'm not really a very technical person, but I want to make technology business useful. So I looked at what ISDN was going to bring me, and from a call center perspective, it was going to be something I never had before. I would know who was calling me. So the concept of ANI, automatic number identification, just was intriguing. It's like, wow, I'll be able to see who's calling me, and now what do I do with it? At the time, I could get it to the desktop of someone's phone. But unless I had incredibly intelligent agents with a Rolodex in their head, that's where it was going to stay. So I had to try to figure out, how am I going to get it out of this phone and into something useful like a computer?
That's right. And Pat was working, it wasn't Avaya at that point,
was it?
It was AT&T at that point. AT&T. That's right. And I was at another company, which was a great company in those years, the Digital Equipment Corporation.
That's right.
They really were top of the industry then. They invented Ethernet with
mini computers.
Xerox, mini computers, and I was there when they actually released the first Ethernet products in the world. That was in mid-82, actually. And so I was working in the network and communications group. But we saw some technologies, and they were real concerned. Gee, there's this thing called a data switch, which I'm sure almost nobody in the audience knows what is. But it was the attempt of the telephone players and some specialty guys to say, we'll take care of the data networking in an office complex. And of course, the Ethernet guys were coming out and saying, well, no, there's another way of doing this. Let's create this shared network instead of a literally circuit switch to do this. Maybe you remember that time pretty well, Pat.
I do. And it was a big mashup of who's standards were going to win, so no one wanted to lose, not the computer vendors and certainly not AT&T.
That's right. Well, I remember me and my manager, a very smart man, BJ Thacker, being invited into the upper management of the networks and communications group at Digital. And they said, well, gee, there's this thing going on and we're a little worried about it. Will you two go off and try and figure out what we should do about this data switch stuff. And we did. We took a couple of months. We came back. They didn't have PowerPoint then, I hate to say.
Yeah, I have some original, those thermographs.
The selfie. That's
them.
Right.
Really very funny, but somewhat prophetic, so I kept them.
Oh, my. But we came back and we had three slides. Our first slide said they all are going to fail. And we based it upon, we just counted the number of chips between a desktop and the computer it wanted to switch to, and there were four. And when we used the EtherTech technologies, there were two. And just alone, we realized that the cost structure was going to be too high for the data switch environment. Number two, though, we said there are two interesting things we have learned from this market. We said, hey guys, the way the telephone companies and the PBXs and the data switches wire the offices is the way we should go. Because at that point, Ethernet was a thumb-thick, giant, heavy cable that you had to take 3 to 4 feet to bend 90 degrees. And we said, it's just not going to happen. People are not going to put these cables. Move all the Ethernet onto twisted wire pair. And the third slide said, there's some really interesting signaling and applications that these guys are packaging in. We should see if we can take the protocols, which ISD and signaling was one of, and have it go through a link so the computer network can cooperate with the telephone network. And that was the foundation of the CTI concepts. You have any further things to add, Pat? I know you must.
We at the time were trying to figure out whether we were going to make our own computers and had started. And I had come from an MIS package on the, I think it was the number one ESS, a management information system. And we had already moved to Digital Equipment Corporation boxes. So my first attempt was to find anybody I could at Digital Equipment and say, how can we connect our stuff together? And having to try to think through how to invent an interface between them. And no one was all that interested in doing all that much R&D.
That's for sure.
It was just a huge bucket of money, and we just couldn't. Well, the applications just weren't there. So we not only were going to have to, I was going to have to pass off this information to the computers, somebody's computer system, and we weren't sure how that was going to happen. No one was sure on the computer side how they were going to change their applications to use it. So it wasn't there now, so they had to not only invent an interface, but change the applications they were using. It changed them somewhat radically in order to accept any new information in them and then search upon it. So, you know, my concept was, wow, if I could get that number into the computer system, and computer system could give the agent a screen and tell it it's Greg Borden calling. All sounds very easy now, but there was absolutely no way to do it then.
That's right. That's right. After that, the management group, they loved the wiring idea, so they pursued that heavily. And they said, okay, you go fiddle with this protocol. I remember a day I was in a conference room with a guy who was supporting me, a very smart engineer named Fred Goldstein. And we said, what should this link do? And we actually wrote up a set of functions on the whiteboard saying, if we put these functions in the link, can it do this? Can it do this? And we actually designed the high level, here's the kind of things we like to do. And we started talking to companies. And what was interesting is there was a big meeting in mid-84, I think, in the summer, in Valbonne, France, very near the Côte d'Azur. It was arranged where we had four different large telecom manufacturers come, one a day. And each day we presented our ideas, they presented their ideas, and we said, hey, we'd like to build this together with you, this joint venture. And we were totally surprised because every one of them said, yes, we're interested. Previously, the AT&T people had received the same presentation in the US, and they said, we're very interested. In Europe, it was Siemens, British Telecom, Plessy, and Alcatel. We were very surprised. What was interesting is the upper management in digital was also very surprised because, to be honest, they had no interest in this whatsoever because they were doing local area networking. They said, this isn't local area networking. It was an incredible struggle to get the funding to start doing the first development of CTI. We actually got the money from British Telecom. The field organization funded it. The networks and engineering people refused to fund it. And that's how it actually started. They were upset when that funding came through. But we started the development then with British Telecom, who owned Mitel, and then, of course, with the AT&T folks, Pat Schaefer.
At the same time, there's a gentleman who's started a business. His name is Terry Gold, Gold Systems. And Terry was one of my engineers in the contact center business. And we were sitting on the floor of a lab with a computer system that we already owned and said, you know what, let's see what it is that we could do with this. So we wrote some software to make screens pop up. So we kind of put together our own software package. You know, it certainly wasn't going to be sold or anything. We were just trying to figure out whether this could happen. And we could. We could make a call come in and we could make a screen come up. However, we knew that since customers generally did not have any of our computers, we had to figure out how to talk to everybody else in the world and push them, in many cases, kicking and screaming, into the world. We looked at it just a little bit differently, I suppose, and we looked at who are our customers using in their back office. And it came back IBM, DEC, Stratus. Notice a lot of these companies aren't there anymore. And Tandem. Okay?
Okay, it's one in four. Yep, I'm still there. Okay.
Exactly.
That's not too bad.
Exactly. And probably it's because they didn't get the concept of CTI that directly or how this industry was going to, you know, just about to change.
Gee, digital could have been Genesis.
Could have, should have been.
Should
in
have
truth,
been, but they were
I should have had,
two
I
heads in the ground.
And I should have built my own Genesis. But
that's right.
They just said that this isn't the work that we should do because it's not our core skill set.
So that's right.
We wanted someone else to do it.
But then digital should have been Cisco, too, and they blew that one
yeah,
also.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And at one point, I wanted AT&T to buy digital because I thought, man, the computers that we were trying to make were just awful. And we went out and bought NCR and Olivetti, and those were all just failed attempts at trying to mash two different industries together. It wasn't an easy process at all.
That's right. We had the development. We had a great relationship defining and making the CTI an international standard. Very important move.
We spent many a day with whiteboards filled with data about what was going to be necessary, what we were going to pass, what the content of the data would look like, how it was going to go, how fast it needed to handle, and we had a lot of really funny stories about, and you still hear it today, the data side of the house never realized the immediacy of voice.
That's right, that's right. But we were able to ship the first products. I know we shipped it in the UK in mid-89. I think it was almost immediately thereafter that, in fact, AT&T shipped it in the US and worldwide. And that was really the first available products. I, at that time, decided digital wasn't the greatest place to work. A very good decision, because over the next 5 years, it just hemorrhaged and everybody there suffered extreme pain as they watched it.
Yeah.
And I founded my first company, which was NabNasset. I did it by myself with a PC and a phone, and I had a very friendly relationship with digital. I said, the CTI protocols are too low level for most normal companies to be able to use.
Yep.
I had designed a higher level middleware that would make it a lot easier. Digital wasn't interested in that either, by the way, which is why I decided to start the company.
Nor was AT&T,
right.
Much to my chagrin. I kept beating on them, saying, we've got to develop this, but you know, he was going to do it. At least I didn't have
That's
that
right.
development to worry about.
So we had a very friendly parting. That was the last year that Digital had Deck World, and they hired like the QE2 ocean liner in Boston Harbor and a giant convention center. I'm sure you were there, Pat.
We had a plane full of us go up for that. Plane full.
Art Scholler.
Yes. In the industry.
Absolutely. Well, Digital said, would you like to be part of Deck World, Greg? And I said, that would be great. And I actually had found my founding engineer by that time. There were two of us in the company, and Deck World went for 3 weeks, 6 to 8 hours a day. I was there, and I had this engineer build a little demo, and it was a working demo showing, hey, screen pop and a few other things. It was great. I met a lot of companies, but I said, I need a little bit of help here. I like trade shows. I am happy to stand 8 hours a day and not even eat, because just meeting people teaches me so much. But I said, I need help. So I called up my mother, and my mother came up, and she was there the whole time, and she called herself by her maiden name, and she was great. 3 years later, people would say, is that Helen Logan available? I loved meeting her. And so my mother helped me as my demo dolly.
What a great story.
And it was fabulous. We ended
funny.
Up with our first customers from that. That included Dow Jones, the Wall Street Journal, and several others. It was just a success, and that got our little company going.
We went to a trade show. I just picture something like Interop, although I can't think of the name of it right. It may have been VoiceCon. And we're introducing ISDN, showing people what could be done with it. At the time, AT&T had a small telemarketing, maybe 800 agents in Jacksonville, Florida. So we had our own telemarketing group, and we hired agents from American TransTech, it was called at the time. They've since turned into a company called Convergys, probably the largest telemarketing group in the world, and hired agents from TransTech to make and take calls. So we had them in Jacksonville making calls to our show floor in San Francisco and having the calls come up and the screens pop up. And we used their applications, we used one of their customers' applications to pop the screens up. And one of the industry icons at a time, I will not say his name, he had a magazine, said all of this is fake and was crawling underneath.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. He had a British accent, if that means anything.
He came from Australia. Yeah.
Crawled underneath our booth because he didn't believe any of it. So we kept giving him, and of course we had the 800 service, right? So we gave him the 800 numbers, and he was, you know, bound and determined that we had just cooked all of this up. None of this was real. So we had the screens popping up with the names on it. And it was just really quite fun.
That's great. Well, after we started shipping this, we step-by-step group, my little company, we had a great relationship with AT&T.
I wanted to buy them, and we were not in the acquisition mode in that part of AT&T. The equipment side of AT&T was always like the ugly stepchild. I mean, they spun us off to Lucent, and then Lucent still thought we were ugly, and we became a buyer.
Yeah, and
yeah, really.
You know, and I wanted Pat to buy us too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We thought this is just going to be perfect because between us, we could figure out how to make this really move. And, you know, looking around here today, I just can't believe it. I even came up with that term screen pop.
Yes.
We had something called the large account customer panel. And as a test of concept, I had drawn little cartoons. There were no online draw programs at the time, so I had drawn these little cartoons with bubbles over people's head, and I put pop on them. You know how the cartoon bubbles are over your head? I had that going through this cartoon and showed this cartoon to customers and said, would this be a good thing to do?
Yes, Pat reduced 10 years of my professional life into a pop. What can I say? Well, there's a real change in our industry, though, around 95, and it surprised me. I started my little company simply to have a good company, build cool software, and grow it and make a good living. But suddenly, all these companies started, and literally $100 or $200 million of venture capital money flowed in, and this company called Genesis appeared, and there were salespeople everywhere, and their software did not work. It was horrible
their
first 2 years.
If you want to talk about a way to start a professional services industry, that was certainly it, because it took a lot of geniuses, a lot of time to make anything work.
That's right. It really astonished me, because I said, what happened? This great, fun idea we're building, and suddenly this just massive influx of capital. And that led me to move to the point where I said, I think I better sell the thing off. I'm not going to be able to do it as a bootstrap much longer just because there's too much money going on this market. And that's where we started chatting with Pat, and Geotel was very interested in buying us, and then a company called Quintus was interested in buying us.
That's right. And Quintus did buy us.
And then
we bought Quintus.
They bought Quintus.
So it did happen.
Now, our joint inventions, there's a product set called the Interaction Center, Interaction Center, which is an enormous business segment now.
That's
it's like evidently 1,400 or 1,500 installed sites. I don't know what the revenue is. It must be $300 to $500 million from all the services plus the software. And that's a mainstay in the industry now, but that's a result of all this work we did together.
It just keeps going around and around.
That's right.
The technology kept getting added to as new types of access methods to a customer came out. Web chat or SMS text messaging or any new way to contact your customer base. So we had to keep weaving those things into these solutions. And it kind of was a little bit easier to explain to people because they understood it at the time, but not any easier to accomplish.
That's right. So after that, I said, I've been in CTI too long. I've been doing other things. I've got another company I founded right next to Pat's booth, which is a totally different area, which is IVR and end-to-end call analytics. And I just can't help starting more companies, I guess.
And me? I'm still working in the CTI field, still trying to come up with new media choices, new ways to route calls to agents to make the whole customer service process easier and more user-friendly. And it's still a challenge.
Still is. Well, I don't have much more to say, but Pat, I have just been delighted running into you again. It just was a
likewise,
wonderful surprise.
And I can envision us in 14 years from now.
Squeak it again. Oh, no. Please.
With all kinds of news stories to tell about these years.
Well, we'll meet right here at that point.
All right.
Okay,
that sounds good.
Deal. Hey,
thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
APN Podcast listeners, we've been speaking this morning with Greg Borton, the CEO of Listening Methods, and Pat Schaefer, who is the North America Vice President of Sales for Verse. This has been your APN Podcast host, Guy Clinch, wishing you all the best in your productive day.
This has been Inside IAUG at the International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event in the Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando, Florida. You're listening to APN, the Avaya Podcast Network. Find us on the web at avaya.com/APN.